Amen. As I said a moment ago, I encourage you to write the title down, the portion that I will be teaching, the morning sessions and the evening sessions. I will be teaching this series on what I've called, and I've chosen to personalize it, if you let me do that, my most important keys for victory. And I started it yesterday morning, and the reason I call it my most important keys for victory, I accepted the Lord in 1968 when I was in high school. And I've really walked consistently with the Lord since then. I think you understand what I'm saying. I'm not saying I'm perfect. I'm not saying I haven't made mistakes, but I've not had one of these testimonies where, you know, I've gone out and, really backslid or, you know, rode with hell's angels. You know, you hear all these kind of testimonies. People go, wow, he must be a real man of God if he did all those awful things, you know. And we've kind of got things turned around these days. I've just lived a consistent walk with the Lord. But and as I prepared for this conference, I said, Lord, I would like to hit some of the nuggets, some of the landmarks that have made such a difference in my life, you know, that have helped me stay consistent. And so I began that yesterday, and I want to continue that this morning. Let me, for the sake of those that weren't with us yesterday, let me just give you the first two keys. I'll not elaborate on them, but you may want to write these down. The first key that I identified that was important for me is this: the realization that the gospel of Jesus Christ is a message of total victory for all who will receive it. The first key is the realization. Everybody say realization. And I don't know when that happened to you, but you know, people call it a realization, a persuasion, revelation, knowledge, and acceptance of Christ. They walk the aisle, whatever. But it was a realization in me that the gospel of Jesus Christ is a message of total victory for all who receive it. And I spent quite a bit of time yesterday expounding on the total aspect. Total victory, spirit, soul, and body. Number two, the second key is very simple, and that is faith in what God says. You know, it's one thing to realize that the message is a total victory. It's another thing to have faith in it. Amen? And so I spent time yesterday elaborating on how to have faith, how to live by faith versus feelings. The first thing that usually hits a person once they accept Christ, or really anything good that happens to them from God, is they'll start doubting. You'll start, well, I wonder if I really changed. I wonder if I really am a Christian. I wonder if I really did get healed the other night. I wonder. You know, and that's really not what the Bible calls signs and wonders. Amen? That's not the kind of wonders we need. But learning to live by faith. All right, the third one that I want to give you, and I will spend quite a bit of time on this one this morning. The third key, my third most important key for victory, is the habit of regular devotions. The habit of regular devotions. Or we could put it this way, time with God. Personal time with God. You say, well, Jason, these things are so simple. Well, folks, that's the things that have kept me going since 1968, are these simple truths, these simple habits in my life. So the third one is the habit of regular devotions. Let's read Romans 12, and let's begin to expound a little bit on the idea of regular devotions. Time spent with God. Romans 12, verse 1. And the Apostle Paul said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. Would you mark the word bodies? Everybody say bodies. So God's interested in your body. Amen? He's not just interested in your spirit. He's interested in your body. He says that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable or spiritual service. So it's spiritual to say, God, this morning, you know, I did this morning before I got out of bed. I just committed the day to the Lord. That's become a habit for me. Lord, I just commit this day. Lord, I'm going to go in there like gangbusters, whether there's one person or 1,000 or 20 or whatever. And Lord, I'm going to go in there and teach your word. And Father, I ask you to use me. Use my expressions on my face. Use my hands. Use my gestures. I give you my body today to be used for you. But notice the key, and this really gets us into the idea of why is it important to have regular devotions. Verse 2, I believe, really sheds a lot of light on victory as a Christian. And be not conformed to this world. Isn't that a mouthful? Now, we wrestle with that. Every day of our lives, we are going to wrestle with that. The world is trying to conform us. Conform us to what? One version puts it this way: don't let the world squeeze you into its own mold. And, you know, the television commercials, the movies, the billboards. I mean, you don't even really have to watch TV. Just drive down the street, and there's a temptation to be conformed. But he says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Everybody say, oh, Lord. Oh, we can do better. Oh, Lord. Transform me more into your image. All right, he says, and be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. There it is. So there's the body, there's the mind, and of course, when you first got saved, God did surgery on your spirit, didn't he? He changed your spirit nature. That's called becoming a new creature in Christ. Well, it's one thing to be changed in your spirit. It's another thing to let that change get up into your mind. So you begin to think differently. You begin to think like God. You begin to see by the Spirit. You begin to perceive, make decisions, make choices. Why? Because you've allowed your mind to be transformed, you see, by the Word of God. He says, be transformed in the renewing of your mind that you may prove, mark this, that you may prove what is that perfect, that good, perfect, and acceptable will of God. So I want to ask you this, and I was asked this right early after I became a Christian. I told the people yesterday I accepted the Lord through a high school group called Young Life. Anybody ever heard of Young Life? All right, several of you. Then I got discipled through a group called Campus Crusade. Thank God for them. And then I slipped up and hung around Spirit-filled folks and got baptized in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Fell plumb into the river. I sure did. But the river of God, that is. And, you know, but it wasn't too long that somebody said, you know, God's got a plan for your life. Have you ever heard that? God's got a plan for your life. God's got a purpose. God's got a mission. And so I thought that was great. I said, well, I know God loves me. I've become convinced of that. Now God's got a plan for my life. How do I get there? Nobody could tell me. Well, I don't know. God's got a plan, but it's out there. You know, God works in mysterious ways. You know, you've heard like, well, I don't want it to be a mystery. I want to know what is God's plan. And then I found this passage. Hey, the way to find the good, perfect, and acceptable will of God. And I don't want to take issue on this point, but I really don't think he's saying three levels there. I think he's saying the will of God, it's good, acceptable, and it's perfect. Now, you know, obviously people can miss and fall short of God's will. I realize that. But I believe God's got a perfect will for me. And he says, hey, the key is you got to renew your mind and you got to present your bodies. They say, well, Jason, how does this tie into devotional life? Because if you and I aren't having a habit of regular devotions, that is, time where we personally read the Word of God, time where we pray to the Lord, then slowly but surely the soulish tank, I want you to write that phrase down in your notes, the soulish tank. You've heard of a gas tank. Well, I want to talk about the soulish tank. The soul is, of course, your mind, your will, and your emotions. But your soulish tank will surely run dry. I didn't say your spirit would. The Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit comes to live in a person, the Holy Spirit is there to stay. Do you realize that? The Holy Spirit doesn't come and go, come and go, come and go. The moment that you made Jesus your Lord, the Holy Spirit came in your life. Now, I want to illustrate this. Would you put your hands up like this? Everybody put both hands up like this. Just raise them up. Everybody say, my left hand represents my human spirit. All right, everybody say, my right hand represents God's Holy Spirit. Now, keep your hands up like that. Before we were Christians, that was our condition. We were separated from God, the Holy Spirit. And our spirit man was in sin. It was in darkness. But when we had faith in Christ, now lace your fingers together. Some of you know I use this all the time. When you lace your fingers together, that represents the Holy Spirit has joined with your spirit. And that's called old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And so you're a new creature in Christ. However, that's not the end of the story. It's one thing to be changed in my spirit. It's another thing to have my mind filled. My mind filled. And there's all kind of people, you know, there's all kind of ideas about what does it mean to be filled with the Spirit. You go to different churches, and everybody's got a different opinion of what it means to be filled with the Spirit. Now, I'll tell you just the long and the short of it for me is being filled with the Spirit means that my mind is under the control and the influence of the Holy Spirit. Did you get that? My mind, my soul, is under the control and the influence of the Holy Spirit. Now, you know, I'm charismatic, meaning I believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I believe that the gifts of the Holy Spirit are a vital part of the Christian life. In fact, I'm going to be teaching on that one of the evening sessions. But I must say this as well. I know people who can pray in tongues or prophesy, etc., who aren't living very well for God. And so, you know, just because a person can pray in tongues or prophesy does not equate to the fact that they are filled with the Spirit. Now, I know most charismatics use that interchangeably all the time. Well, he got filled with the Spirit last night. But truly, being filled with the Spirit, and write this verse down, we'll not turn there, but Ephesians 5:18 is the command to be filled with the Spirit. It says, but be filled with the Spirit. But be ye filled with the Spirit. And in the Greek there, that's Ephesians 5:18, the Greek there is continuous. Everybody say continuous. In other words, you're not just filled once. How many of you ever just filled your car once and, you know, boy, it's supposed to run for 5 years? Well, you know, that's kind of silly. Wouldn't it be silly? Let's just take that illustration. I know it's kind of corny and kind of silly, but let's just walk that thing out in the natural and relate it to the spiritual. You know, a guy goes down, he buys a new car, gets his new car, gets in there, boy, so proud, hallelujah, I got my new car. Off he goes, you know, driving down the road. And a few days later, all of a sudden, put, the thing dies on the side of the road. He gets out, he scratches his head, he can't figure out what's wrong. This is a brand new car. He calls up the dealer. They send the wrecker out there. They think, well, maybe the motor, who knows, you know. They get out there, find out it's out of gas. Now, can you imagine the ridiculousness of that situation where the people from the garage or from the dealership are trying to explain to this man, and the guy says, well, sir, listen, hey, you pay $20,000 for a new car. You expect it to run, you know, for 5 or 6 years. No, you've got to keep putting gas in it. Are you hearing me? You got to fill her up. Everybody say, fill her up. You got to fill her up. And so there's that need. Well, if I could just relate that little illustration over to the spiritual. My spirit man has the Holy Spirit. I know that. My spirit man does not lack, but it's my soul that can run dry. Why can my soul run dry? Because today's problems are different than yesterday's problems. Next week's problems are going to be different than this week's problems. In other words, life is ongoing and it's constantly filled with challenges, and there's a drain put on my soulish realm. And so before I give you a little formula for having devotions, I'm going to give you how I've done it since 1968. And you may already have your own format down, but point is this, are you doing it? You say, Jason, I already know how to have devotions. Well, are you doing it? Because if you're not doing it, your soul is going to run dry. And I know when my soul runs dry, I get grouchy, I get complaining. You know, I get doubtful. It's just, you know, I get the blessed God attitude, man. I want to slap people around a little bit. But I'm a sweet guy when I'm filled with the Holy Ghost, man. I'm a nice person when I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. Why? Because the love, joy, peace, patience is flowing out of me. And I'm yielding more to the control of Christ. Are you getting anything out of this? And I look back in my life, and the reason I'm identifying this is I look back in my life, and without daily devotions, I would not be here today. And I want to add this as quick as I said that. There are days that I fail to have a devotion. I don't want to stand before you and say, since 1968, I've never missed a devotion. There's been days, plural, that I've gone without devotions. But you know what? I'll just catch myself, because why? I find myself getting unkind. I find myself getting running dry. And I have to pull her back in the gas tank and say, fill her up, Jesus. And so I begin to read the Word. Let the Word of God go in there. And the Word of God charges me. The Word of God helps me to not be conformed, but to all of a sudden be transformed, see, by the renewing of my mind. And so in my life, I have regular devotions. It's not daily. It's not every day that I have devotions, but I have regular devotions. Why? Because of this idea of the soulish tank. And I think that's a great way to explain it. Somebody said, why do I need devotions? Because you've got a tank in your soul, and it can run dry. So let's reread that verse one more time before we leave it. Verse 2, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Mark that. If that verse is not marked in your Bible, mark it. By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove or find what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. The implication is this. If you'll let God get hold of your thinking, if you'll let God get hold of your mind, you will find the will of God. And so I've got a series out there called Finding Your Mission in Life, and I've got, you know, a bunch of points, but we could really make the whole thing simple. Spend some time with God, let God get hold of your mind, and it promises there you will begin to find the will of God in your life. Isn't that good? That's good. Amen. All right, 3 John verse 2. Many of you can quote it, I know, but again, I want to lay a foundation as to why we need to have time with God. 3 John verse 2. And this verse, of course, is a verse that God ministered to Oral Roberts. And, you know, I'll reflect quite a bit on Oral Roberts because that's where I spent many years of my life, at Oral Roberts University. Met my wife there, and we graduated from there. And so he's had an influence upon our life and our ministry. But I can remember him preaching many times on 3 John. Be sure you're in 3 John, verse 2. And let's read it. It says, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health. Now, would you mark this phrase? Even as thy soul prospereth. Now, you see, that's God's will. You say, but Brother Jason, that was St. John writing it. Well, how many of you believe St. John was inspired by the Holy Ghost? How many of you believe this is the Word of God we're reading? All right, so let's just pretend Jesus himself is up here looking you right in the face. And he's saying, Sandra, beloved, I wish above all things, in other words, above everything that I could wish for you, here's what I'm wishing, hoping, desiring. I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper. Everybody say prosper. And please don't limit that just to money. That it certainly includes money. But there's a prosperity of just the peace of God, the peace on the inside, you know. It really covers everything. It's that Jewish word shalom. Shalom means more than just peace. Shalom is the greeting that means everything that's possibly good that could happen, I wish it to you. So when they say shalom, it's not just peace. It's everything that could possibly be good to happen to you, spirit, mind, body, financial, physical, family, children, shalom, be it unto you. And so he says, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health. Everybody say be in health. How many of you believe God wants us healthy? Now, I realize there's sickness in the world. I realize good Christians die, you know, prematurely, et cetera, et cetera. And thank God they're going to go to heaven. But I want to shoot for the ideal. Are you hearing me? I want to shoot for the ideal. I want to be in health. I want to be in health. Even as. Now, circle the two words, even as. Even as thy soul prospers. The indication is this. If your soul is not blessed, if your soul, that is your mind and your emotions, are not prospering, then it's going to affect the rest of your life. It can affect health. How many of you realize people who are tormented, depressed, discouraged, many times, psychosomatically, they'll just have problems popping up in their physical body? Now, I'm not saying that's always true, but we know that that is so. And he's saying here that it can affect your health, it can affect all of your life. So he hinges your blessing upon, how's your soul doing? Well, I'm saved. Well, I didn't ask if you're saved and your spirit man, you know, had Christ in. I said, how's your soul doing? How's your mind doing? And so back to the devotional life. Back to the devotional life. This is a key for Christian victory. If we are having regular times with God, and, you know, by that, it certainly starts with the Word of God, but I read a lot of good books. I like to read biographical books about men and women of God who've done exploits. Hudson Taylor, and I read things like that. Man, I get encouraged. I read the life stories. I read where they succeeded and where they failed. Why? Because I can learn from that. So there's all types of things that can go into a devotional life. We mentioned the importance of cassette tapes. I listen to tapes on a regular basis. My office, you know, it looks pretty clean except one corner, man. It's just tapes just piled everywhere. Hallelujah. Somebody accused me of being a tapeworm. I said, well, I might be guilty. Amen. I don't know. I thought that was pretty cruel of them to say that to me, but that's what they said. But, you know, information. Everybody say information. Man, my soul is hungry for information. My soul. He restoreth my what? My soul. And so here is the reason, the foundation. Now I want to quickly give you a little formula, if I could just call it that, that may be something you'll want to pick up on. If you're already established in the kind of devotions you have, then fine. I'm not trying to change that. I'm not saying this is the only way. But this has been a simple way that I've been able to maintain a regular time with God. I call it Acts with a double S. So if you would just on your paper write in a column A-C-T-S-S. That's why I call it double S. There's two S's. Acts, I call it Acts with a double S. A-C-T-S-S. And a good way to remember it is there is a book in the Bible called the book of what? Acts. And of course the book of Acts is a powerful book. These people spent time with God. These people worshiped the Lord. These people, sought God in praise and worship, ministering to Him. And because of that, the book of Acts is full of a lot of powerful events, miracles, the expansion of the gospel around the known world of that time. So I kind of related to that. I say, hey, I want to have Acts of the double S so I can have the Acts of the Holy Spirit in my life. Amen. But each one of these letters, it's an acrostic, stands for something. A stands for adoration. Adoration. And this has been a very simple way for me to remember it. We do have a nursery downstairs if you would like to take somebody down there. Adoration. What is adoration? Well, I'm just teaching this straight from one of my devotional study guides that I mail out free of charge. You can sign up to get these. But adoration, let me just read it to you the way I defined it in this study guide. The first step is when you take time to reflect on the goodness of God and praise Him for who He is and what He's done. Isn't that good? And so here's how I have my, here's how I'll start my devotional time when I have one. I say, I just start with 1 minute. Would you, beside adoration, just put 1 minute? This is just 1 minute where you just begin to reflect on the goodness of God. You begin to praise Him. You begin to love on Him. And before I even open my Bible, I'll just sit, you know, in the office there or at home or wherever I am, and I'll just begin to verbalize out loud, Lord, I love You. Lord, I thank You so much for what You've done. Lord, thank You for sending Jesus. Thank You that Jesus came and died for me. Thank You that Jesus rose from the dead. And if some good things have happened that day over the past few days, I begin to itemize them. Father, I just praise You for doing this, praise You for doing that. And I just love on Him for who He is. And I spend 1 minute. You say, Jason, why don't you spend an hour? If you want to spend an hour, fine. But for me, I like about a 15-minute devotion. That's what's worked for me all these years. And by the time we add all these numbers up, it's going to be about 15 minutes. Now, adjust it as you want, but I'm just suggesting to you, spend about 60 seconds. You say, well, I could spend an hour. Well, I'd like to see you just spend 60 seconds. Some people can't even thank the Lord, praise the Lord for 60 seconds, you know. So start with adoration. And get in the habit of verbalizing your worship. Tell Him that you love Him. Lift your voice in song. Sometimes I'll just sing. Sometimes, give thanks with a grateful heart. You know, just begin to, just singing to Him. Sometimes I'll just make up a tune. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Maketh me lie down in green pastures. Oh, Lord, I love You. And I'll just go back and forth. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. So I'll spend 60 seconds just in adoration, just loving on Him. All right, the C stands for confession. Confession. And I'll spend about 60 seconds here confessing my sins, because, you know, it's not too long when I start praising Him, but all of a sudden He shines His light on me, and I realize I was a little sharp with that person. I could have been kinder there. Man, I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't, you know, and I don't dig for these things, but if they come to my consciousness, then one by one I confess them. And let me just read you again off of my notes here what I have for confession. As you finish adoring Him and worshiping, you may become aware of unconfessed sin in your life. Wrong attitudes and actions need to be confessed. Ask God to forgive you. Be as specific as possible. Don't just pray one of these, you know, four-year-old prayers, Lord, forgive me of all my sins. Amen. You need to itemize them. Here's a verse for you to put down for this one. A verse would be 1 John 1:9. 1 John 1:9. Does anybody know that verse? If we what? That's right. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so, again, about 60 seconds there, depending on how sinful you've been the past few days, I guess. But I'll spend at least 60 seconds just evaluating, confessing. You say, why is that important? Because, can I use the garden hose example? A garden hose is a channel. Everybody say a channel. It's where water flows through and it can be used wonderfully. But if that hose becomes kinked or plugged up, then what happens? The water does not flow. And that's the way in our lives. If we have unconfessed sin, wrong attitudes that we don't bring before God, or we try to hide from God, then we expect His blessings. We expect His guidance in our life. I think we're kidding ourselves. Amen? And so that's why John wrote that in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, there's an if there, an if clause. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just. Us. Praise God, He'll do it. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So I spent about 60 seconds there. All right, the T, we're going through A-C-T-S-S, acts with a double S. T stands for thanksgiving. I'll spend about a minute there. Take a few moments to specifically thank God for all your blessings. Itemize them one by one. Thanksgiving is one of the most positive. Everybody say positive. See, this is one of the most positive things that you can do. What is the opposite of thanksgiving? But some people spend at least 60 seconds a day doing that. Just always complaining, murmuring and complaining. But you know what? When sometimes when everything has hit the fan, the bills are piled up, I can't pay bills. You know, some missionaries acted up, and I got a problem there. This, that, and the other. The duplicator broke down, or, you know, the airplane's broken, everything's broken, bless God. You know, and you get that bless God attitude, and you want to just go bless God on somebody. Amen? I find there's still things to thank God for. I'll just, Father, I thank You. I thank You that I've got a beautiful wife that loves me. Father, I thank You I've got two sweet children. Lord, I've got a house. I've got a place to sleep. And I go back to basics. And what is really important in life? What is really important in life? It's not money. It's not things. It's the relationship. It's the peace of God that I have. Thank you that I'm saved. Thank you, Lord, that you love me. And when I get going in that direction, it helps my brain to start going down the positive faith road instead of the murmuring, complaining, doubtful road. Are you hearing me? So I spent about a minute there. All right, the first S stands for supplication, not suffocation, okay? Amen. Don't suffocate yourself. We're talking about supplication. And that's just a biblical word that simply means to let your requests be made known to God. Supplication, or some of your versions, instead of using the word supplication, will use the word petition. Have you ever signed a petition? What is a petition? A petition is a list of names, isn't it? So when we bring our supplication or petitions before God, we're bringing our list of needs. And God tells us to do that. He says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything. Everybody say in everything. He says, in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God with thanksgiving. So God expects us. Tell Him what you need. Tell Him what you want. Because again, see, I've got this set, and I'm not pushing the set, okay? But understanding the necessity of prayer. Once I realize that God has to have my permission, God's not just going to come down and force anything on me. God is not going to do that with anybody. God has to have our permission and our yielded wills. And I have found that the same is true in the prayer life. When I pray and utter my needs, God then has legal permission to come in and help and assist me there. The devil would like to stop him, but when I say, Lord, I need your help, that gives God the ability to ride in that situation and come to my rescue. So present your needs list to the Lord. Ask Him for His guidance and assistance. Let your requests be made known. And mark this in your notes, if you would. When you're presenting your needs list, I found it so helpful, lace your request with Scripture. Lace your request with Scripture. Begin to, you know, quote verses, paraphrase verses to just assure that faith in your heart that you're praying according to His will. Now, I allow 2 minutes for this. Amen? Depends on how needy you are. Praise God. But at least 2 minutes. Usually it's a lot longer than that. But you start praying for yourself. This could also be a time for intercession for other people's needs that you're aware of. All right, the last S, A-C-T-S-S, stands for Scripture. Scripture. So in other words, I've gone through adoration, then I've taken a moment, Father, I just ask you to forgive me for being sharp with Martha, or not taking out the trash, or thumping the goldfish on the head, Lord, or whatever whatever bad thing you've done, you know. And then, Lord, I just want to thank you, Lord. I just begin to thank, Lord, you know, I now, here's my needs, and I go through that, and I pray for myself, for my family, at times the missionaries, whatever. Then I open my Bible. And so Scripture, now that your time of prayer and praise is finished, spend the remainder of your time reading from the Bible and read it devotionally. Would you write that down? Don't read it and this is really a tendency that ministers have, that, you know, you only open your Bible when you got to have a message. Or maybe if you're teaching Sunday school, or if you're going to, you know, teach your children, there's a tendency, what can I get it for other people? No, this is the time, what can I get for me? My tank. Everybody say my tank. Everybody say my soulish tank needs being filled. Amen. My soulish tank needs filling. My soulish tank needs filling. Say it. My soulish tank needs filling. And so this is the time for my tank to be charged. All right. Read it devotionally. That is for your own life. Mark key verses with a pen. Make notes. Apply it. Now, I keep a little spiral notebook. Have you ever seen these little pocket spiral notebooks? The ones that would be about the size of your shirt pocket, a man's shirt pocket. I keep a little spiral notebook with my Bible, and what I do is I'll take notes. I'll write the Scripture down that I'm studying, and I'm just taking, this is not in-depth study, I'm just writing down things that have popped off the page at me. I just scribble them down. And I find that when I face a major decision and I need to make a choice or a decision, what I'll do is I'll flip back through my devotional readings, and more often than not, there's a nugget or two there that speaks to that situation. And so that it becomes my foundation for hearing God. Are you hearing me? That becomes my foundation for hearing God. Don't just read it without making some notes somewhere, because that will help you keep up and remember, see, indeed, what God has said. So I want to encourage you, you know, to have a regular devotional time with God. And if you don't have a format, use the Acts with a double S: adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication, and scripture. All right, the fourth key. I want to take about 5 to 10 minutes on this one before we take a break. We will take a break, by the way, between each session. My fourth key for victory is this, and I would encourage you again to write these down, is the priority of hearing the voice of God. I look back at my life, and my life would not be what success and accomplishments and blessings I've had would not be there if I didn't know how to hear God's voice. So my fourth most important key for victory is the priority of hearing the voice of God. Now, do you see how this one logically comes right after the devotional life? If I'm having a devotional life, if I'm spending time with God, not just performing for the people, not just studying, you know, for the sessions, but I've got a relationship with Jesus myself, and I'm making some record of that, making some notations of that, then that becomes my platform for hearing God's voice. And that indeed becomes the platform for faith. Everybody say faith. Because faith cometh by what? Hearing. Well, I'm not going to be hearing it if I'm not spending what? Devotional time with God. Devotional time with God. One passage on this. Go with me to Deuteronomy 28. Some of you no doubt have had teachings out of this chapter. I call it the blessing and the cursing chapter. If you haven't studied this chapter, you're in for a treat, really. But I will warn you, don't claim anything beyond verse 14. Okay? The first 14 verses of Deuteronomy 28, I mean, man, it's just God will bless you here, God will bless you there, He'll bless you everywhere, coming, going, your storehouse, your barns, He'll bless you. How many of you believe that's God's will? How many of you want to live like that? I do. But there's something I think worthy of taking note here under this idea of the priority of hearing the voice of God. Deuteronomy 28 verse 1. Mark verse 1. Many times people get so caught up in the blessings, but they forget what it says in verse 1 and 2. And it shall come to pass if, everybody say if. So I want you to circle the word if there, because none of these blessings are going to happen, you see, unless you qualify with the if. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do. So you're going to hear, and then you're going to do. And that's the key to victory right there. It's one thing to hear, it's another thing to do. I had this one guy come to me at one minister's conference or mission type conference. He came up, oh, Brother Peoples, I've been called to go to wherever it was, Bolivia or China or someplace. You know, oh, God called me. I tell you what, it was one of the most dramatic things I've ever heard. You know, God, it's a prophecy, and then an angel showed. I mean, just, boy, oh, wow. Man, hallelujah. They should have put that in the book of Acts, you know. I mean, it was one of those type of things. And then I said, well, how's it going? I mean, this had happened to him like 5 years ago. Well, I hadn't started. I thought, don't waste my time telling me all these wonderful, spookified stories about how an angel walked in your room and you didn't do it. I want to see you do it. Amen? So he says, if thou shalt hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God, he'll come to bat for you, the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee. Would you circle the word if? If thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. And I'm not going to take the time to elaborate on these. Mention a few of them. Verse 3, blessed shalt thou be in the city, blessed shalt thou be in the field, thy body, thy ground. Verse 4, thy cattle, thy sheep. Verse 5, thy basket, thy store. I mean, it's everything good that you could dream of. But it all hinges on, are you hearing the voice of God? Now, we could spend, and I have spent, entire series. I mentioned one set to you there on activating the voice. But I want you to write these down. I think the first way that you begin to hear the voice of God is you read the Word of God. Doesn't that make sense to you? Now, I will add this. Any time that you hear something, or you think you've heard something, or somebody comes and tells you, Sister, thus saith the Lord, I've got a word for you. And it contradicts the written Word of God, kick it out the door. I said, kick it out the door. Because the Holy Spirit does not contradict or violate the written Word of God. Can you say amen? So you've got to have regular time, you see, in the Word of God, all right? Number two, we also know that we can hear the voice of God by the Holy Spirit. By the Holy Spirit. Now, I must say this. Though the Holy Spirit will never contradict the written Word of God, there are things you're going to face in life that are not specifically addressed in the Word of God. You go out to buy a house. It'd be nice to be able to turn to First House, chapter 1, verse 3. Jason, go down here, take a right, then take two lefts, and you'll see your house. Hallelujah. It's not there. Or, you know, you go to buy a car. First Ford, first Chevy, first Cadillac. Cadillac, Cadillac, Cadillac style. There it is. You know? Or your job. You know, I had one guy said, yeah, there's a book of jobs, J-O-B. I said, no, that's not the book of jobs. You know? So it is important that we learn to hear the voice of God. Not just the written word, but the voice. And of course, that comes in a variety of ways. You may want to make a little few notes there, but you'll have what we call the still small voice, where you'll just know that you know that you know. It's hard to describe how. You'll just, the little voice inside, you'll be speaking to you and counseling you. Some people call that the inner witness. The inner witness. I just had an inner witness or knowing that that was the thing to do. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will speak to you by peace. You just feel peace about it. I just feel peace about this thing. Or he'll speak to you many times with lack of peace. He'll disturb your peace. And you just feel something's not right here. You can't put your finger on it. Something's not right. And I believe many times the Holy Spirit tries to stop us or at least get us in his timing. Sometimes it's not that the Holy Spirit's saying, no, you can't do it. It's just that now's not the time. See? All right. Also, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I think the gifts of the Holy Spirit are very important. And again, I'm going to spend one entire evening on this. But using the gifts of the Holy Spirit, I pray in tongues every day. I interpret my tongues every day back to myself. Why? Because I want to know what the Holy Spirit's saying. I prophesy every day. Well, brother, I thought this was for big meetings. Well, it's okay to do it in big meetings, but the gifts of the Holy Spirit are to be everyday occurrences in the Christian's life. And so many times, I look back at landmark times in my life, our whole missionary program. In fact, starting the whole ministry. Everything came through the Holy Spirit's gifts operating out of my own mouth and just coming back to my own ears. I'm very cautious about somebody coming to tell me what to do. Are you hearing me? I know the Holy Spirit can do that, but generally it should be confirming. Watch out for people who want to manipulate you by telling you what they... Well, I'm God's spokesman. Here's what you're supposed to do today. Take me out to lunch, buy me a big steak, you know, and you know, whatever, whatever. And so don't let people come and manipulate you. I think God's best is we each need to learn to hear God's voice. Now, certainly, again, God can speak to us through other people. That is one that I'd like you to write down, through the counsel of others. The Holy Spirit can speak to us through the counsel of others. That's why we need one another, don't we? That's why we need to be in a church somewhere. That's why we need to be, you know, around men and women of God that know God and can counsel us. They'll see things we don't see. We may think we've got all the bases covered, and they'll see a blind spot here or something there. Through circumstances, many times the Holy Spirit will arrange circumstances, people, divine coincidences, open doors, closed doors. Now, don't live your life just on any one of these principles, but the Holy Spirit can arrange circumstances. I remember in the book of Acts where Paul tried to go this way and the Holy Spirit said no. He tried to go that way. The Holy Spirit said no. Closed the door. And finally, he had the vision of Macedonia. Come over and help us. And he concluded that from that vision and that open door that that's the way they were to go. But they were frustrated, evidently trying to go some other ways. Praise and worship. Praise and worship. It's so important to hearing the voice of God. If you're not around good praise and worship, there'll be times you'll go into a church service or a prayer group or whatever, and you'll be down, you'll be discouraged, and you get around that praise and worship, and all of a sudden you start getting inspired. Before you leave, you've got the answer. I know what to do now. Why? Because God inhabits the what? The praises of His people. That's Psalms 22, verse 3. Psalms 22, verse 3. God inhabits the praises of His people. So these are the first four, and particularly the third and fourth keys, that have been important for my victory. The habit of regular devotions, time spent with God, why my soulish tank needs filling, and the priority of hearing the voice of God. Have you learned something? All right, well, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this first session. Lord, we thank you for this school of victory, that we can learn basics, keys on how to live successfully with you. Lord, let it be more than just information. May it become inspiration and impartation so it sticks. It sticks with us. We ask in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen.